Session number 20165, Reel 2.
Somebody had to go in. A lot of the men were away at the wars, you know. So you had to do your part. Well, I was quite pleased when I got in. I mean, I used to come home blacked and greased up to the eyeballs and that, you know. But, and of course, being at Wall's End, a lot of people that came from outlying districts would say to me, "You live near seafront, don't you?" And I should say, "Yes." "Will you bring us a crab up?" And they would say, "We'll bring some licks up." And I used to go up on a Saturday morning with my haversack, chock a block with crabs and works and things. In fact, someone started to call me the fishwife on the train. And then different ones would come, you know, "Have you brought me crabs? Have you brought me licks?" In the finish, I stopped doing it because quite a few didn't give me their money. So I was losing out on the deal.
Did you find anybody, that thing about a woman being in a man's world, did you find anybody look down on you because you were doing that kind of work?
Oh, no, I think the men were rather, I think the men were rather pleased. Mm-hmm. You know, that women had come in. I didn't find anybody that, the big marking table was behind my machine, and they were all good, they were all good lads. I never found anybody that, I fell out with that one on the machine after he hit that fella like that. Didn't bother much of him. But no, I found that you thought, oh, fairly well. I thought treat you well, your first names and, you know.
What about outside the North East Marine? You didn't get anybody sort of thinking you were a bit...
Oh, no. No. Because at night when we used to go down, you know, there used to be a few of us, and we used to go down to the Little Davy. It's not there now, the Little Davy pub. Mm-hmm. We used to come out the North East and go down this road to the Little Davy. And, I mean, there used to be men and women. Mm-hmm. And we just have a drink and then get a train home, you know. Oh, no, they're quite a sociable crowd, really.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them. Even the draftsmen, and when I used to go down to the fitting shop down the big fitting shop downstairs, where they put the engines and that together. I mean, you could go down there and you could ask any of them any questions, and they'll keep you right, they'll put you right.
Right.
Oh, well, no, it was quite a...
He meant it was that the outsiders think doing a man's job.
What?
Well, the people, if you mean ordinary people on the street, they didn't bother with you.
No.
But I mean, when 9 times out of 10 you didn't even get a seat on the train in the morning. Mind the men never got a seat up to you.
Yeah.
I mean, many a time I've stood in the gangway and that. But, and of course we used to wear these steel toe-capped shoes, you know, because
yeah.
We dropped the pipes and things. But you had to mark your own things off. You were given the templates and the centre pop and your hammer, and you had to mark off yourself.
Yeah. You got...
The only thing was just terribly cold in the winter.
Oh,
terrible cold places in the winter. Everything you touched was icy cold. Your machines, your tools, everything you touched. And bringing the pipes off the jetties.
Yeah.
You know, the ice cold jetties.
Oh, you had to do that all yourself, did you?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have anybody, a labourer, to help you or anything?
Oh, if some of them were good, some of the lads were good, and they'd bring in a few and lay them at the side of your machine ready for you.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't, there was the sort of fire, you know, that they have. It had a door that opened. No, it had a door that opened, it went up through the top, like.
Oh, yes.
But, you couldn't get there for me and mum on the backside. They used to come in.
They wouldn't make any room for you.
They used to come in. I used to say, "That machine, that fire would be lovely if I could get the view of it." Like, they used to come up and just stand, not long, you know, perhaps come in for some tools or something.
Yeah.
But no, it was quite. And then, of course, I used to go and sit on the jetty and watch George on the raft putting the propellers and things on, you know, that used to be taken over by a crane and I used to dread saying it because they're raft. All the time these labourers are, in other words, using the muddy hammers and that, you know.
Yeah.
Rafters sticking into the seam. He used to stand with his shirt sleeves up to here. Never had his shirt sleeves, his boiler suit over here. He used to stand on with us. We used to put the shafting in right down through the shift. He was the key man on the shafting. And actually he had been safe on until 38, I think, when he finished the safe. And he had put in to go to Dunkirk, you know,
yeah,
for the Dunkirk things. And I can remember the gaffer. He came in and he just stood in front of him and did that to one of these people. So he said, I came in on the shaft and I'm not allowed to go, you know. But no, you got on, I think, well, as a matter of fact, I think the men and the women got on better. And I mean, the welding shop, there was both men and women. Well, that was further along the jetty than we were. And there was a superheating shop. You know, there was men there. There was a couple of women in there, I think. But there was a woman cleaner, sweeper up like for every shop. There had women on that job.
Right.
But on the whole, it was, well, it was a change.
Yeah, it was something you wouldn't have experienced normally.
No, well, I wouldn't know anything about ships, you know, or what, how the workings of them, anything went on. And they even took us on to see us, when the first one came, the oil burn, you know, they even took us on, because, yeah, I was amazed how quick they flared up, you know. But, oh no, I liked my work.
Can I? You were living at home. Mm-hmm. When you were working there. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you got paid. Did he give you all your money to you?
Well, that's what's puzzling me. Mm-hmm. I often wonder how much I can remember. I have no idea. No. Well, she didn't. I mean, because the first job I ever had when I left school, I got a half a crown a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have three pay Woolworths stuck and out of that. I just shouldn't have paid. So me mother never got anything there. Mm-hmm. Me mother paid me to work. But, no, I had £3 something when I was in the women's shop. And I presume perhaps in my money, because, I mean, I'd be trained this. I don't suppose she got much money from me, really.
Did you go out a lot? I mean, did you go to dances?
No, I didn't go to dances. I went out, but I didn't go to dances. We used to now and again go down to the Empress.
Spectate.
And I used to spectate. I could do old-fashioned dances, I couldn't do modern.
No.
But my girlfriend that I used to knock around with, she liked to dance, so I used to go upstairs and sit and drink coffee while she danced downstairs. You know.
So you like quite... I mean, what did you have... Well, you had that... What I was thinking of was you had some money in your pocket, didn't you?
I used to go to working men's clubs with your husband, I think. Right. It was different.
So were you courting him most of the time you were working in the northeast?
Mm. And, no, actually, I was going with another one of the fellas.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the small outside fitting shop with me. And this was his friend. And he came to talk me out of the other one, and he managed it. So, but bless him, I lost him 7 years ago.
Oh, he's a gentleman.
He had a good husband.
Marvellous.
They only had the one boy. And he's just as good as his father. Of course, he's married with his own family, like. But he's got a lot of his father's money.
We didn't spend money, you know, when we were young.
You didn't? I don't know about in your time, but we didn't spend much money. I mean, I'm 67 now. So, I mean, it's quite a few years ago.
Yeah, I know.
When the first
Well, I told him when I first started, I had a half crown, I had three pairs of stockings out of that, and then I would get me picture money. So, I mean, my mum did literally keep me, didn't she?
Oh, she never took much money.
Never took any money. No.
Were there many in your family?
Three girls. Father, my father was an engineer. And then he was a manager of a laundry. But as I say, George was sick on and he had given it up in 38 and then the war started at 39. Yeah. couldn't get back. He tried. But he was on the... He only used to come home once. He lived in Heaton. He used to only come home for a fortnight every 2 years.
What,
he used to go between Japan and New York all the time.
Yeah.
You know. And he only used to come home once in 2 years.
And that was George.
Mm-hmm. We can give you his...
I've got one where he came when he was paid off in New York. He had threatens.
That was George, the man you worked with.
The man that I married.
The man that you married.
No, the man that used to help me sometimes was Ernie George.
Right.
You see, my husband is George's first name. Ernie George is very, very good. Mm-hmm. But after this argument with the gaffer. And after I reported him, and he was sent for to go to head office, when he came back, he wouldn't even let Ernie George. Ernie George used to come across to me and he used to say, "Here, Ross, I'm sorry, I could help you in a few minutes, but..." He used to watch me like a hawk, in case the men came over to help. But, as I say, eventually, I suppose, I got used to setting me jobs up, you know, and I set them up. But, as I say...
You fell out with him because he sexually harassed you.
Sayings. He didn't touch me. Sayings something filthy. Uh-huh. You know. So, of course, I says he's got a mouth like a cesspool. And I went across to the woman. And, of course, Mrs. Story went straight up to the office. And he was sent for, he'd be dead now. But on the whole, I enjoyed my job. And I enjoyed travelling in the morning because for all it was early morning, they weren't bad tempered with you on the train. You still had your bit laughing, your bit joking, that, you know.
Did you, after you're married, did you go back to work again?
No.
I never worked again.
Oh, I went into a... the crisp factory, you know, when my boy was, when he was about, I took a job when he was 3 and a half. He went up to live at Heaton with my mother-in-law. And he used to come home on a Saturday, go back on a Sunday night. And then I went into crisp factory, and which, of course, in the summer it was 7 days a week.
Yeah.
You know. But at times were, you see, no way could I have gone back to the yard with a little baby.
No.
You see, you had to stay at home.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, when he got to school, well, it was a case of if he wanted me anything, I had to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, he was a good kid. He stayed at school for his dinners. But sometimes after school, he would run across to see me, you see. So, and then, of course, when I had the crisp factory, he could just come round there and see me.
That was in North Shields, was it?
In Colour Courts.
In Colour Courts.
Yes.
Which, whose crisp factory was it?
Well, it was actually called Tyne Weir. It belonged to somebody called Hargreaves, and it was Tyne Weir. Previous to that, I had gone to work for someone in Whitley at the crisps. But then she gave the crisps up, so of course this factory started, and it was not far from where I was living, so I went there.
Oh.
Of course, in those days, nobody left
a baby.
No.
Only one thing about the crisp factory is that when you went anywhere, for all you'd been washed and cleaned. She upset me one night at a do.
Okay.
She says, "I can smell fish and chips."
We're getting the
tax. I says, "Oh, don't say that." I says, "I've been bathing, me hair washed, and everything." And then we'd gone to see an operatic thing. And two men came in and they were sitting behind in the house. What a smell of fish and chips.
What a smell of fish and chips. And she burst out laughing and she wasn't speaking to me up there because I defended it. She said, "I can't smell that."
And it was, you know, on your bend to sit, put your seat down.
Yeah.
To sit down. Well, you must have been near my hair.
Yeah.
And yet my hair had been washed.
Did you find out when you were in the yard,
you smelled a little white water. That he used.
Uh-huh.
I don't actually know what's in that white water.
That,
you know, you put on the cool there,
yeah,
drills and things, and actually we used it to wash the machine. And one of the fellas says, don't wash your hands and that with that, because I wash my hands regular with the white water. He says, you'll get dermatitis. But I went on in the early years, I still used it, you know. And I washed my machine down with it. It was just to kill all the grease and everything, you know.
Did you have to join a trade union, by the way, when you were in there?
Yes, I was in a union.
Do you know which one?
Yeah, I don't know. We used to go up to the Winning in Moore's End.
I come from Jarry, see, I don't come from this side.
Oh, you come from where? Jimmy West? That's where Jimmy West, the Charlesman, came from. Well, it's... You went up from the North Eastern Marine. On the first main road, I think it was. It used to get called, its nickname was the Penny Wet. But I don't know how it got called the Penny Wet.
It just reminded me, Dad used to work in the Neptune. Well, his dad's dead now, but I was talking to my mother. I've interviewed somebody near the Neptune the other week. It's the same. Your dad used to go to the Penny Wet. It's just under a viaduct. It's just under the railway line,
yeah.
Down by Swans.
Yeah.
Aye.
Yes, used to go to
the
Penny Wet.
How's that where you went to the union?
Oh, at the Wind to pay the union, but we used to go down to Penny Wet for sometimes meetings or, you know, anything like that. And then the Davy when we were thirsty. Because the Davy just come out of the North Eastern Meridian Street down this little bank. And it was a little tiny little homely pub. A little tiny place it was.
Yeah.
I think Parsons took it after that. And I think that was pulled down in the pub. And I think Parsons used the ground for him. But on the whole, as I say, it was nice, it was pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And only it was frustrating if you couldn't get your job set up right. No one, when they kept saying to you, that's worth £100 if you destroy that.
Right,
that used to make it worse.
That was what.
Because that used to worry you.
That
was what used to worry you.
Yeah. But he used to do that deliberately because he'd reported them, didn't he?
Well, I suppose he did, really. When I look now and think of those piston rods, I mean, their heads were like that. And they had all these holes right down. Mm. And you had to hit there. The jetty, you know, and kill rats for a pastime.
For a pastime?
In the dinner hour. Oh, aye. You know, it was a little man on the North East Marine launch. Little Charlie. He was only like this. His wife was a massive woman. Charlie was just a little man. And I used to take pies in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody liked the pies that I had one and asked me to take some in. And there we used to take them in, and I told you Arthur Debridge was the store man. And he used to put them in his oven. And poor little Charlie came off to lunch one day. He'd been to another yard, you know. He'd come up on the lunch, and he went in and somebody had taken his pie. Of course, Jack Robson, this one I told you that was for carrying on, a little fat fella from North Shields. And just automatically says, go and see Rosie Sheila where your pie is. I says, so Charlie, come and ask me if it's fine. I haven't seen your pie, Charlie. So, Jack Robson, after that, nicknamed me Rosie the Pie Pin. And when I walked in the yard, you'd say, oh, yes, Rosie the Pie Pin, Jack. I said, Jack, that name will stick with me. But however, I mean,
telling you now, Rosie, when you go back to
Exeter,
will call
me Rosie.
Says you're christened Rosalind.
But I always get Ros, you know. But another day, I can remember, I went into the shop and somebody had been. Everybody's tea was jet black. Somebody had been in all the cans and put washing fluid in there. No way you could drink that tea. Oh, that was Chris.
Chris Dawson.
He was just an apprentice. and somebody put his jacket under the bench. And of course he comes in, it would be about 10 o'clock for his belief, like, you know. I couldn't find his jacket and nothing. So he says, "Oh, it's under there, man." He put his hand in, the first thing he brought out was a handful of mice.
Oh.
And I had been eating his sandwiches. He didn't bother. He took the sandwiches out and he ate what the mice had left. I mean, I used to stand at my machine and watch the rats running around its good at the top. You know. And I was glad my machine wasn't anywhere near them. Mine was more central. But there was three of us. There was Sandy from Wall's End. There was Emma from Wall's End. And we started in the outside fitting shop, there was the three of us. And we all did jobs like that. But Sandy's, hers was a small machine, just about the size of that sideboard.
Yeah.
One she used. And she, hers wasn't drilling. And what was hers? Something to do with the screw threads.
Yeah.
You know, was a, and Emma was on a bigger machine, like mine. But Sandy, the day I was caught on the drill, when I turned out to tell Jack Robson off and saw it was the drill, it was Sandy that come pulled the chain, because they went down by a chain. Sandy went and pulled the chain. But of course, you see, what I hadn't realised...
Sandy fainted,
didn't
she? Sandy
fainted. She had to have the whiskey or the brandy or whatever it was to come out. What I hadn't realised was that my drill would still be going.
Yeah.
And you see, my drill was still working up while I was tightening this job on.
Yeah.
And I got a terrible shock.
Oh, I imagine.
She was all bruised, her body was... She didn't come home.
Because the supervisor said, "Well, it's just the coat I brought for the half year," so she says, "You can just hang on to it." But Anna had borrowed this jumper unbeknown, it was my sister's. Never used to borrow each of this. Because somebody's dad had got a hold of this green jumper. And as I came off the train at Cunnicoats, my sister was coming at the shops on Anderson George's Road. And I says to her, "Mabel, did you like your jumper?" She says, "Well, not that particular like about it, but I liked it." So I said, "Well, it's no more now, it's wrapped around the machine."
That's a sly way of doing it.
But I didn't like green, you know. Yeah. And it just seemed funny.
Well, when girls would put each other's clothes on, they sometimes
do. We never did.
And this Ross said, "I don't know why I should have picked that green jumper up that morning."
Well, I picked it up. Well, of course, I was dreading coming home. I think I'm able to sat and knit and was wrapped down the machine. Hey. But it was unusual to work. I suppose this is it. It was a change.
Yeah.
You know.
Was it a challenge as well?
Oh, it was a challenge, definitely. And then you are proving that you could do a man's work. You see? I mean, a man used to be on the machine. But apparently, like them, like I did, they had been ruptured in that. It was a terrible machine to move.
Yeah.
I mean, when you had this massive ring on the floor, and you had to put this hooky spanner on, and then stand on it and jump to move your machine, just a fraction that way. You had the other wheel to move your jobs up over, and move your drill up over.
Yeah.
I mean, there was... Oh, the column would be as high as this room, maybe higher.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, what you're saying is it's just heavy work for a man or a woman.
It was heavy work. But, as I say, it took terrific. And, I mean, you know yourself, you've got to be, when you're tightening bolts on and things like that, and they're in these jigs, the jigs must be perfectly still.
Yeah.
And your clamps over the top have to be. I mean, just takes one slip and the whole job's kiboshed. I mean, you weren't using drills little half inches or anything. I mean, there were 2.5 inches and 3 inches, and so you had to be darn careful.
Did you see any ships being launched?
No, well, they don't launch them from the northeast anymore. Actually, it was the engine place where they were fitted out and that. No, you didn't say you never got. We used to get taken. There was one or two of the empresses in, you know, and were on them. But they used to come from, I suppose, perhaps they come down from World's End with from Walker with these laggers, and they continued to come down and finish the job while North East were getting on putting the engine in the shop and everything in his sight.
The ship would be off for trials.
And then they used to take it out for trials. And I mean, we used to see them going out that way to test the engines and things, you know. Say they may be going off to another yard that the finishing touches put to it. But it was quite a. I mean, you never realised, you see the ships just how big they are. You know, you see them on the water and you don't attach size to them until they come to look at them and go on. Oh, it's quite, I quite enjoyed my job. I would, if I'd been for getting married and the baby, I would have probably been there at the end of the war. You know, I suppose they would all get finished when the war finished.
That seems, as soon as, yeah, it seems like that, as soon as the war came.
They got finished, yes. Well, that's only natural in a way, isn't it? Because the men would be coming back. We would be meant to get jobs for.
Well, I mean, I know that. Mind you, a couple of years later, there was a shortage, you see, of labour.
Was there?
Yeah, on the wayside. But they didn't bring women back then.
No.
Oh, they didn't.
And yet a lot of the women would have gone back, probably, you know.
Because a lot of the women, actually, even though when they finished...
I mean, after my son...
They still worked, you see.
Uh-huh.
You know, they still kept on at work, and they'd have been quite glad to go back.
Yeah.
Because the money was better than another place.
Oh, it was better then.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so hot when we were working there. And I was just trying to think what my highest wage was in there. I think we once went to 7 or 9, I'm not sure. That was with me overtime and that. You know.
Yeah.
You got a half an hour for your dinner. No, an hour for your dinner. Half an hour for your tea.
Mm-hmm.
If you were staying on to work.
Did you work Sundays?
No, never worked on a Sunday. No, the women never. I don't think many men did then, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think some perhaps like they do now, a half day. You know. And then they started that they didn't work Saturday and they worked a Sunday. I don't know why. But that happened. But as I say, I had nobody to fight with in the machine shop with me being the only machinist in it.
Yeah.
When I was on the outside fitting shop, as I told you, I had two pals and they were both on machines, those three was there. And there was just myself in the and then there was another woman in the small machine shop.
But there were other men. There were other men in there.
Well, there was men in them all.
Yeah.
Oh yes, there was. There was two markers on this big table. They used to mark everything. Do the drawing and the things, you know, like draftsman sort of thing. And the gaffers. There was some stairs and then the gaffer's hut was up a height there,
yeah.
You know, and there was lathes, big lathes and all the rest of it, I mean.
But you were the only person in that shop doing that kind of work?
I was the only one doing the crankshafts and the piston rods and the bolt holes for the propeller nut, you know. I was fascinating, it was fascinating to see, actually, where the tunnel where the shafting was.
Yeah, no.
You just don't realise, as I say, you just don't realise.
No, it's not until you get
until you see them all. And you see all the things and all the gadgets and everything. I mean, it was, you know, it was amazing.
Did you do shipyard
work? I've worked in shipyard. I worked as palmers in heaven.
Did you?
Well, there's labour a couple of summers when I was at the university.
Oh, well, there's labour.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be so hot.
It was alright for the summer. My dad was there. My dad went and he was a cleaner. He went all over. He was Swans, Clelland, Slipway.
Yeah. I think it's fabulous when you see the river throwing the nets up.
Yeah,
I think that's fabulous.
Oh, I've never seen that.
We've never seen it.
Well, time out going, it was all welding.